The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus tells a parable about God's generosity, challenging the common assumption that God rewards people according to what they have earned or deserve. I begin reading at verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably met at least one eccentric person in your life. A person who is normal in most respects. They may be somebody who is friendly or maybe not friendly, or maybe somebody who's secluded, or maybe somebody who's out and about. They can be rich, they can be poor, but there's just something a little bit different about them. They have to do something in a different way, in a way that nobody else does it, or in a particular way only to them. A bit eccentric. I think in our gospel lesson this morning, our landowner is somewhat eccentric in what he does as he pays his workers. The parable goes that landowner went out to hire workers for his vineyard. He went out early in the morning. He hired some, agreeing with the normal daily wage. And he figured he still needs some more, so he goes out again, and he goes out again and again. He goes out several times to find more workers throughout the day. Well, at the end of the day, then, comes time to pay the workers, and he pays them all the same, whether they work 12 hours or whether they work 1 hour. And there's something in this parable that strikes us as unfair, maybe, or just not quite right. You know, that's just not the way that we handle things. It's a bit eccentric. Or think about it this way. Is this any way to run a business? What if you ran a business in this same way? Probably several things would happen. One is that you wouldn't get the work that you need out of your employees. Another thing is that you'd probably have a stack of applications of people wanting to come to work for you, because they knew they wouldn't have to work too hard. And the other thing is that you'd probably go bankrupt because you wouldn't get done what you needed to do because nobody's working or not working at the level that needs to be done. It's not a way to run a business. But it seems to God that this is a way to run the world. This is the way that God acts towards the world. His grace is free, and he dishes it out to who to whomever he wants to dish it out. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, because we think in certain ways. We believe in certain ways. And because we do, we want to put those same beliefs onto God. We want God to think the same way that we do. But that's not the case. God is God. God is different. God thinks in ways that we cannot even comprehend. God has so much more power, so much more might, so much more intellect, knowledge, wisdom than we will ever have. And so we don't always understand God. We catch a glimpse of God from time to time, but we really don't understand who God is. St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians, that we see in a mirror dimly. You know, if you look in an old mirror or a deformed mirror, you can see the image of yourself and you can see that it's you, but it's still not very clear of who you are or of what you look like at that moment. Or think about going into one of those fun houses at a carnival or an amusement park where they have the curvy mirrors. You step in front of one mirror and you can see that it is you. I mean, you can see the colors of your clothing or the basic shape of your face. You can recognize yourself in there, but you step in front of one mirror and it looks like you're 7 feet tall and you weigh 98 pounds. Or you step in front of the next mirror and it looks like you are 4 feet tall and weigh 350 pounds. They distort the image of who we are, but yet we can still recognize who we are. And I think that's the picture of how we see God in our lives. We can catch a glimpse. We can recognize God. We can see God active in our lives. We can see God active in our families or within this congregation or in our community or in our world. But yet we still do not see clearly. We still don't understand. And God does things different than we do. We don't always catch on. I mean, look for instance at the disciples themselves. Several weeks ago we had the gospel text of where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter pipes up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter gets it right. He caught that glimpse of who God is. And he shouted it out. He was correct. He caught that glimpse. But just a few verses later, as we looked at the following Sunday, Jesus starts to tell them that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer many things, and that he would die, and that he would rise again. And Peter says, "Lord, forbid that that should happen to you." And Jesus turns around and says, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't understand. Peter did not understand. Even though he caught a glimpse of who Jesus Christ truly was, he still did not understand the ways of God. And I think that's why we have trouble with this parable, because we don't always understand the way of God. It doesn't happen according to our ways. You know, it's been a struggle for decades for women and minorities of equal work for equal pay. We teach our children that if you work hard, you will get what you need. If you work harder, you will get even that much more. We have a strong work ethic, and this parable doesn't say a whole lot about that. Or it sounds exactly the opposite of what's going on. And so we have a lot of questions for God. You know, we don't always understand. In our first lesson today, Jonah didn't understand God. As a matter of fact, he disagreed with what God did. When God did not destroy the city of Nineveh, that wicked city of Nineveh, God didn't destroy it because they repented and they changed their ways. Jonah was mad at God. And he actually tells God, "That's why I didn't want to do this in the first place. I didn't want to go tell those people to repent, because I know that you were gracious and merciful." Jonah did not understand the ways of God. He didn't agree with the ways of God. We have questions a lot of times. And we question, "God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why don't you do something about it?" We have questions, and honestly, I cannot answer many of those questions. And I don't know that you can answer those questions. But it's always good to keep searching, to keep looking for the answers to those questions. Because when we look for the answers to those questions, sometimes we do find the answers. But just in the process of looking, a lot of times that helps us grow into our faith. And it helps pulls us closer to God as we continue to search. In this parable for today, it doesn't quite hit us right. Maybe because we don't understand the ways of God. Maybe because of our worth ethic. And we want to, we tend to be judgmental a lot of times because our ways are not God's ways. And we want to judge people and say, I'm a better Christian than you. I go to church every Sunday. I put more in the offering plate than you. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't go messing around. I don't do all of those things that are so bad. I try to be good. I'm a better Christian than you. And we start to get self-righteous because we're trying to work into the favor of God. And this parable says exactly the same, has exactly the opposite of working our way. If you notice in here, the pay is not according to how much work you have done. Much of that pay is simply grace. It's simply just given to them because God chooses to give what he has. I'm going to throw a couple of churchy terms at you, and I call them churchy because church is probably about the only place you're going to hear them. The two words are redemption and sanctification. And I think this will kind of help us with understanding this parable here. Redemption is the work of Jesus Christ. It's what he did when he went to Jerusalem, when he suffered many things, when he died on that cross, and when he rose again. We deserve, what our pay should be, is death, because we've turned away from God. Every time we sin, we turn away from God. And what we deserve is death. That is our punishment. But Christ has redeemed us. He's bought us back. He's paid our debt. He died on the cross so that we could live. He paid that debt for us. He paid what we deserve. Okay, does that make sense, I guess? That Christ died for us. He redeemed us back. It's the work of Jesus Christ. It's not any of the work that we have done. There's no work on our part of what Christ has done for us. That is redemption. It is pure grace. Now, on the other hand, we talk about sanctification. Sanctification means to be kept holy, to remain holy, to remain sacred, to remain sanctified. It means to remain in the good graces of God, to be a part of God's kingdom. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you remember the explanation to Luther's small catechism of the third article, the Apostles' Creed. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. What the Holy Spirit does is continually calling us back into the work of God's kingdom. Okay? That's where the work comes in. You know, as we look at this parable, there doesn't look like there's any incentive to work into God's kingdom. But as we look at this parable then too, as the landowner went out to find more workers, every single worker that he called was willing to come into the vineyard to work. The work was not tied to our pay. Our work is not tied to the redemption that God has done for us. We work simply because that's who we are. That's who we are called to be in our sanctification, as the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us. He calls us into the work of the vineyard. And so I think it's important to keep those two terms separate. This parable today is talking about redemption, God's grace. He gives to us freely. He gives to us as he chooses. We don't always understand why God does it that way, but that's the way that God chooses. But we are still called into his service. We are called into the work of the church. We're called into the work of Christ. We are called to be disciples of Christ, to continue faithfully in this journey until life's end. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.